Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlotte Long. Got a full show ahead of us a little after 4:30 this afternoon. It's Tulane Tuesday. We have the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. They have a game coming up Thursday against East Carolina. We'll have Coach Summerall on with us a little after 4:30. On our WWL telephone lines, we have with us the owner of HTV Studios, out in Houma, HTV 10, Martin Falls. Martin, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Hey, Mike and Charlie, good to be with you. I appreciate it. Mike, seems like I just saw you, but we'll talk again.
Yeah, we just did see each other a few hours ago filming Sports on the Bay, and you can catch that on HTV 10. Martin, you've been on this situation almost since day one when the accident happened involving – at that time, the Marine Mr. Hayes, another car. At that time, it was sort of painted that the guy that we know really well from our area out in Lafourche, Kyron Lacy, was involved in a hit-and-run accident that caused the accident that Mr. Hayes lost his life. But you got some film last week that you played on HTV, and I mean, it's just not a local story now. It's a national story. Over 1.5 million people have seen that video in which Kyron's attorney, Matt Ory, released to you showing that, in fact, Kyron was over 70 yards behind the accident when it occurred. Kind of tell everybody a little bit about the setup of this, because I think initially that's not what was being painted in the media world, that this was a hit and run by Kyron. He caused the death of the gentleman and everything else. But now you actually have video that actually shows it, and actually state police has released more video again today. So tell us a little bit about what Mr. Ory released to you, what you were able to see with this. And this is kind of like connecting pieces of the puzzle together.
Yeah, let me just preface it by saying, you know, we lost two really good people. Mr. Herman Hall was a Marine, from what I understand. I didn't know him personally, but from what I hear from everybody, fantastic guy. Kyron Lacy, my God, we covered him so many times in high school and then at LSU, and he was ready to be drafted, I think. Like you had told me one time, high, low second round, maybe third round. So he was fixing to be able to reach his dreams, buy his mom a house, do different things. Then all of a sudden, you know, one of those days when we're sitting here in the newsroom and boom, we start hearing things and things start happening. And what we heard from the initial reports until today are so far on the spectrum that it's unbelievable. And I will say this. We just got a release from Liz Morrell, who's looking into this case. But if I can humanize just a little bit, my job has been to get everybody on and to listen to what they have. That includes state police. That includes Christine Russell, district attorney. That includes witnesses. That includes those involved. That includes the Hall's attorney. That includes the Lacy family, that includes Liz Morrill, and includes the troopers that were in Ball State Police Troop C. And to listen, and I urge people just to listen to everybody's side. Let them tell me what their evidence is, and then let them show me things. It's not my job to tell them what to say or pick what they say and decide who's right or wrong until we hear everything. But it is my job, if I suspect there's a flaw in the story, to try and find out what that flaw is. That is where we are now. Right now, I got Matt Ory came on the first day and showed us some incredible evidence he brought in. And, of course, everybody, and not to correct you publicly, Mike, we're at 35 million people that have viewed this.
Goodness.
35 million. It's unfathomable. But what happened was we look at the video, we see the video, and, of course, everybody makes a determination. Then the state police come out today with their report. And then, of course, the district attorney, Christine Russell, has her report from the district attorney's office. So this is not a sprint. We're not going to decide this in one night on HTV or two nights or three nights. This is going to take a while. Ms. Liz Morrill just came out with a statement. If you don't mind, I'll read it. She says, statement from AG Morrill after state police releases evidence in deadly LaFouche Parish crash involving Kyron Lacy. She says, quote, the evidence is not disputed here. The LaFouche Parish District Attorney's Office was prepared to present the case to a grand jury that showed Kyron Lacy returning to his lane. However, that does not absolve Kyron Lacy of responsibility in this matter. I'll stop the quote right there and I'll ask, what percentage is she talking about? She says every witness identified the green Charger, Kyron Lacy, was determined to be driving as having put the events in motion that led to the head-on collision, which killed 78-year-old veteran Herman Hall. The district attorney appropriately was bringing the matter to a grand jury so that the grand jury could review the facts and decide the appropriate charges to indict on, if any. I'm continuing to review the entire file from state police and will release a more detailed statement at the conclusion of that review. There you have it, Mike and Charlie.
Martin, so I think we're looking at here.
That's where we're on.
We're looking at two totally different kind of stories here. And I think what you've done is a great job of being able to lay this out so everybody can see what exactly happened here. The terrible part is two families were affected by people that aren't here anymore. Okay. I didn't know Mr. Hall. I knew Kyron. And, you know, when you around him or have covered him or around somebody young, sometimes, I mean, you and I both kind of grew up in this era where you say, how could this happen? You know, how could God let kind of this sort of situation happen to somebody so young? And then a gentleman who served this country and everything in his life is taken away also. And the fact that you can give the pieces of the puzzle, and now you have visual evidence of exactly kind of what happened both ways, from what Mr. Ory presented to you and now from the state police.
Yes, and that is the most confusing part of this whole story, is deciphering. If you really read into what Ms. Morrill was saying, she herself is, this is one of those in the middle kind of things. If your narrative is on one side or your narrative's on the other side, there seems to be no middle ground on social media where this is. If you're on the narrative of, okay, Kyron got back in his lane, so there is no way his events could have caused the car behind the gold truck to hit the gold truck or swerve to the left, miss the gold truck, and hit the Hall vehicle head on. If you're on the other side that says, okay, but he put it into motion to make the gold truck hit the brakes, which caused the other car to swerve into the other lane and hit the Hall vehicle. The problem comes in what is actual fact, what does the video show, and what does the car black box show? I have seen evidence in this case so far that I have never, ever seen in 42 years of sitting on the news desk here at HTV. I've seen the black box. The black box is normally an airplane. We got black boxes in cars now to tell you how fast they were going, when did they hit their ABS system kick in, the brakes. Did they swerve hard to the left? Did they swerve hard to the right? It's a quagmire story. Until everybody lays everything out, until we have, and I'm sure this is going to civil suits. We're not going to find this out tonight or tomorrow. This is going to be a long process.
Martin, I think, you know, you and I have talked about this, about social media. And, you know, initially, you know, Kyren, man, all kind of fingers pointed his way, okay? And, you know, we think about it. You and I didn't grow up in that era. We in it now, but we didn't grow up right with it. But, you know, I see my kids grew up with it, and now my grandkids will grow up with it. And what it has to do, too, with someone's mental health. And I told you before, Kyren was always a very emotional young man, always. And he would joke, him and I would kind of joke about it a little bit, that he had sort of calmed down a little bit, you know, throughout the years, because he was really kind of a high-strung guy. But you just don't know when someone gets pushed to the edge, and that's what happened here with Kyren. And everything started, all his dreams that he, you know, he thought about, he would be able to play in the NFL and that he could go to the Senior Bowl. Jim Nagy and I had that conversation. Jim was, Mike, do what you normally do. Give him a nudge to come here to Mobile to play in the Senior Bowl. And then right, that got pulled back. He got invited to the combine, but then that was pulled from him also. And I think he saw all that unraveling here. I think the bigger part of this story, yes, I mean, our hearts go out to both families here, but how that one incident, and, you know, people today go on social media. They can say they don't, but they do. And how it affected Kyren, and what it did to actually kind of push him to the point where he would take his own life. And you sometimes don't know what someone else is going through in life. You really don't. You and I, we talk about that quite a bit, that you don't know what pushes somebody to that edge.
You know, and you're right. We grew up in a house where we had one phone, and it was either stuck on a wall or stuck on a table in the living room somewhere, where if it rang, everybody would rush to it and grab it and see if it was for them. We didn't live in a world where everybody had their own phone and people are texting, they're on it. They get all their information from it. It's the gospel. Whatever's said on that phone is, they can go to the bank with it. But in this case, we have a lot of people in agencies that are human. We have the state police. They're human. We have Christine Russell. She's human. We have witnesses. We have those involved that are human. We have Mr. Herman Hall, a Marine. Great human being. But Kyren Lacy, a young human being. Liz Morrell, she's an AG of Louisiana, but she's human. Tyler Werner, state trooper. We live in a world where humans are making decisions and making evaluations, and we're not all perfect. And when something happens, sometimes they get crucified on social media. And the social media can be relentless. It can be engaging. And trust me, social media has a good place if it's on the right point. But I guess what I'm urging here, Mike, is for everybody just to remain a little patient, because sooner or later, we're going to find out the truth. And then sometimes it takes a while for the truth to come out. But the truth may not be as obvious as we think. It just may be the interpretation between the Lafourche District Attorney's Office and the state police is visible. You can see it. I can read the report, and I can see what the state police put out. But I guess maybe we don't know until it gets to a civil trial. We would have known because it was supposed to go to a grand jury, and we all know that Kyren took his life just before that grand jury was to decide. And that was unfortunate, but this whole event is unfortunate.
No question about it, Martin. And when it deals with, I didn't know Mr. Hall, but, you know, knowing Kyren, It almost felt like, you know, a family member of yours, you know, this happened to. And we all we want to know is the truth. I think that that's the one thing everybody that's wants right. to know. No matter where this falls, we want to know the truth about it. Thank you so much, Martin, for bringing this to light and to getting the videos with this. And I know you'll have further interviews with state police and also with the, I think, Christine Russell is going to, you're going to also interview.
Yeah, we're working on both of those, and I appreciate them trusting. I appreciate all the agents trusting us enough to come on and tell their story because they know we're going to let them speak and then let the people decide what they want with the facts, with the facts and only the facts.
Martin, thanks so much. We'll keep up with you, and we appreciate it, and we'll get back with you with this story. Also, too, you can go on Facebook. Martin is HTV10, correct?
Yes, correct.
And you can get all those videos, also the interviews that Martin does with everybody involved with it. Martin, thanks so much for joining.
And you too, Mike. Thank
yeah,
you.
Okay, appreciate bye. It, bud. Martin Falls from HTV10, really doing yeoman work, trying to bring light to this story and just a tragic situation all the way around. Just kind of really upsets me to see all this happening. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Again, want to thank Martin Falls from HTV10 for joining us to give his thoughts and also putting out online the video with Kyron Lacy and also the comments by his attorney. Now it's Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you weekly by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next day delivery throughout South Louisiana. The head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate y'all having me on. Hope all is well.
Coach, I was can't ask you about last week because you didn't play, but you know, we all kind of creatures of habit. You know, we get into a groove of we do things a certain way. We watch certain things on certain days. We listen to certain music. Come on. It's part of how we are. It's in our DNA. So when you have an off week and then it ends on the Thursday because you're playing Thursday night against East Carolina, everybody asks me, how does Coach Summerall deal with that? Because we are creatures of habit now, and now you've taken them a little bit out of that habit.
Yeah, without question. Routine is good. I like routine a lot for our team and for myself personally, to be honest with you.
Me too.
So what we did is, you know, we gave the guys a couple days to back in the last week off Thursday and Friday, and they came in on Saturday and we practiced, and that really was like a Monday for our game week. So Saturday was a Monday, Sunday was a Tuesday, Monday was a Wednesday. Today's Thursday in our world. So, you know, and I'll be honest, even down to, like, I eat the same thing every Monday for lunch. I eat the same thing every Tuesday for lunch. And so today, I eat what I would have on for Thursday for lunch, and I'll have Thursday night dinner tonight, and so forth and so on, because Thursday this week just happens to be Saturday in our calendar, our schedule, if you will. And we've tried to do that as much as anything for our players with our schedule of treating each day of the game week like Thursday is really Saturday, to keep those routines and rhythms that you may get into the same, so they're ready to go play on Thursday, but like a Saturday.
Coach, I'm with you 100%, but really I should say 99%. On the eating stuff, man, that's going to change for me on a daily basis. I'm going to be honest with you. That one's going to change on me, but everything else, I'm with you.
You know, I they talk about being a creature of habit. During the season, my wife would tell you, I don't want to have to think about anything other than, like, the practice, the game, whatever. So like, she'll tell you, she knows my week better than I do. But, like, I don't want to have to think about what's for lunch. I just have the same thing every Monday. And that way, it takes one less thing I have to make a decision or think about, and it's just done. It's in the vault, and I do it all season long. Now, out of season, man, I'm a heathen. I don't keep those same routines. I'm doing probably eating terrible. But in the season, man, I'm like dialed in, and I'm focused on the game.
Coach, one of the things, you know, my wife knows my schedule is better than I do. So if something's messed up, I can always blame her too. You know, you should have remembered that too. I mean, I didn't remember it, but you should have remembered. But that's a story for another day. Give us a little bit of a scouting report on East Carolina. This is a football club, man, and throughout the years, and they've had a little bit of a kind of an up and down, a little bit of a roller coaster year. But a little bit about the Pirates. This is a football team pulling from a lot of heavy area football players, and man, they have been a real good team at times throughout the last few years.
They got a ton of talent. You know, when you watch the tape, their length and athleticism sticks out. They're really good on defense. They're explosive on offense. Blake Carroll's their head coach. He took over in the middle of last year as the interim head coach and really did a great job finishing the year with several wins and got the permanent job. And they beat North Carolina State in their bowl game last year, which is a huge in-state win for them. And then they opened with North Carolina State this year and lost by a touchdown, but played really good football in that game. Most recently, they're coming off of a win to open conference play against Army. They beat Army 28-7, which is a very impressive game for them. You know, Army earlier this year beat Kansas State. So, I mean, that tells you what kind of football team they got. And, man, I'm impressed with them when I watch them on video. I think they're probably – honestly, one of the more underrated teams in our league and maybe the country. What I see is a lot of ability and talent and a really well-coached team. It is a huge challenge for us Thursday night. We have to play really good football to give ourselves the best chance to win.
Coach, we got the press release today about Javon Gordon being named to the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award midseason watch list. That's a great honor for him, obviously. Great start to his Tulane career. He's outside of Jake Retzlaff, who obviously factors into the running game in his own right, he's leading all the running backs and carries on your squad so far with 50 this season, also second on the team in rushing yards with 235. It seems like, you know, Coach, we've talked to you about Javon Gordon as well, and I know that you had mentioned he has some kind of similarities to Mekhi Hughes, but at the same time, with this Tulane backfield the way that it is and the kind of running back by committee strategy that you've used at times this year, it feels like Javon Gordon's earning a lot more touches the further the season goes. He's been excellent.
Yeah, he's getting better as he goes. You know, he's one of those guys that's almost like as the game goes, he's a better player. Certain backs, and, you know, Sean Alexander was kind of like this. They were better in the third and fourth quarter than they were in the first and the second. They kind of wore you down with their play style. And Mekhi was like that for us in the past year. Javon is very similar in his play style. You know, we have been running back by committee, but Javon has stepped up and probably earning a little bit more. Looks like Maurice Turner is going to be back and fully available for the first time really since week one this week as well, which is exciting because he was the clear-cut number one for us going into the year and had a little ankle in week one, has been on the shelf. He played one snap last week, but looks like he's going to be back available. Really fired up about what Javon's doing. You know, he's such a consistent, hardworking guy, very steady, doesn't say a whole lot. He's kind of a quiet guy, but, man, a really hard worker, tough, physical, plays the game the right way.
Coach, I know one of the things we've talked about throughout the season is certainly your strength on defense has been the upfront guys, and that you're able to rotate double-digit guys on a three-man front, which is so unusual in college football today. I mean, you're one of the very few teams that could do that, and especially when it's a three-man front. But the one area I think you would like to see improvement on as the season goes along is in the pitch-and-catch game. And that's not where I think you believe it could potentially be at somewhere down the line.
Yeah, it's been streaky. You know, I didn't think we started very clean early in the year, throwing and catching the football week one, and we're really week two. I thought week three versus Duke, we took a pretty big step forward in the throw game. And then we went and played Ole Miss, and they kind of smothered us, to be quite honest with you. Their secondary sort of choked us out on the perimeter, and we weren't able to create much separation. We had two critical third down drops in that game that you know, when the game was still really in question, they kind of tilted it in their favor even worse. And then last week we missed some things, we hit some things, but it wasn't quite as consistent as I want it to be. And we have to grow in that area for sure. You know, we've got good depth at receiver. I don't know that we have the number one receiver. Maybe they're like we had Mario Williams that went for over 1,000 yards last year. But we got enough good players in that room that can play winning football. And we just got to be more consistent with catching the ball, running the right route at the right depth, and making a catchable throw, you know. And we've got to, if our aspirations are win a championship, that's got to get better.
Coach, one of the things I see different, certainly over the last 5 or 6 years, is that at the tight end position, at one time that was just almost like a third tackle. Okay, you were blocking. Every once in a while, throw your ball just to keep you happy a little bit. Now, they got all these 6'5", 235-pound wide receiver tight ends, and they are a mismatch for any defense because, okay, you can't put a linebacker on that dude that can run like a receiver can. Can a safety keep up with them? So I had a Tulane fan ask me that when we were doing our TV show. Is that something that you would look at to try to expand? I know you're tight end coach. I mean, come on. No, Tyler, he wants that involved with it. That he wants that tight end be more involved in the pass offense. But you've seen that growth. Ask you a little bit about how you've seen this from a college football head coaching standpoint, how that part on offense has dramatically changed. Those guys, 5 or 6 years ago, they playing on defense. They defensive ends are outside linebackers. But 7-on-7 now, they got their butt playing receiver or tight end. And, man, they got a lot of them out there that really could open up an offense.
Yeah, you do. You see more and more guys that look like almost a receiver body type, a big receiver or receiver skill set in regards to running and catching at the tight end position. It's almost become, you know, we're a pro-style nature in nature offense to some degree. We want to run the football. We ask our tight ends to do a lot in the run game and some of the throw game too. It's almost become harder to find a physical tight end that'll put his face on you more than it is a guy that'll go jump up and catch a ball, because so many, like to your point, there is so much 7-on-7 all year and there's less guys really just going and mashing each other, you know? And so, the physicality of that position has been lost, but the athletic traits of that position, I think, have been heightened and maybe enhanced because of the year-round 7-on-7 stuff. And you're seeing the guys that used to be really good, you know, small forwards in high school basketball, if you will, come out and play tight end. And now all of a sudden you got really talented athletes, you know, playing that position, catching the football.
Coach, kind of sticking with that 7-on-7 theme, this opponent this upcoming week, ECU, they're pretty good at the pitch and catch game as far as Caton Hauser, their quarterback, 1,500 yards this season, averaging over 300 yards per game. He's 12th in the entire FBS as far as total passing yards. And then the receiving core, it's not just one guy that's hurting teams. They have three different guys that are all over 20 receptions so far this year, all over 300 yards. So the kind of challenge that's going to provide your defense this upcoming weekend with their pitch and catch game.
Yeah, they're talented. Like you said, the quarterback's a good player, can make all the throws, can push the ball down the field, can take the access hitches if you don't challenge them in the short game, quick game stuff. Receiver-wise, they're very balanced. A lot of times you go into a game and you're like, man, if we just take this guy off the board. Well, this team, they got three guys at receiver. They got a couple tight ends that present real problems, and they got length. You know, they got a couple of these receivers are 6'2", 6'3", type guys. And so a real handful for us. We got to play good in the secondary, and we got to stay on top in coverage. They've been huge in explosive plays, hitting, you know, shot plays down the field, posts, go balls, those sort of things. And so we got to play good on the back end to have a chance to win this one.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We always appreciate it. And, you know, while Steve and I and Charlie will be doing a show Thursday, hey, we'll keep an eye on what's going on. Wish you the best of luck against the Pirates, brother.
Appreciate y'all. Roll Wave.
Thanks, Coach.
That was the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. And our Tulane Tuesday segment is brought to you weekly by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next-day delivery throughout South Louisiana. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long. I want to thank Tulane head football coach John Summerall for coming on our Tulane Tuesday segment each and every week. Hey, we believe in the power of everywhere. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere. Get the WWL shows you love. If it's Dave Cohen, Tommy Tucker, Newell, Scoot, us here on Sports Talk, plus the local content you crave on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettea along with Charlie Long. I want to tell everybody Seattle, Detroit is in a rain delay, so we'll talk a little bit more about that in the 5 o'clock hour. And also at 5:20, Mark Schlereff from Fox on NFL will talk to us about the NFL and the Saints right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.